Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having a fantastic week so far. Got some more interesting articles, as always, to go over with you guys. And hope you enjoyed the Hagman Show with Dad last night. I got to hear a couple parts of it, and it seemed like it was a pretty awesome show. So I'm glad you guys got to enjoy that. How are you doing today, Dan?
Austin, absolutely wonderful. The weather, again, is beautiful. It's going to be cooling off tomorrow a little bit because it's probably 82, 83 degrees outside with clear blue skies and a light sea breeze. So, yeah, it ain't any better than that. Whenever we have a day in the sunshine state without chemtrails, it's fun. I love it.
Yeah. Well, the first thing that I want to kind of address today is this is coming up next week. And so I want to make sure all of our listeners, anybody up north, northeast, northwest is going to be very prepared for this. I don't know if it's going to happen, but the Weather Channel is basically saying it's going to happen. They came out yesterday and said that there's basically a brutal Arctic cold that's going to be coming in the end of next week. They said temperatures will not be common at all, to be dropping below 0 degrees. They said single-digit temperatures down as far as South Florida by the end of next week will not be abnormal, going down to negative 30 in some of the northern states and even colder in some of the northwest. So I'm just telling you guys that as a heads up. If you don't have any extra food or firewood or clothing or blankets or whatever you guys need or you don't have, I would suggest you look into getting those over the next week. They said the temperature should be plummeting by the end of next week, so you have one full week. Even single-digit temperatures in Florida are unheard of. So if it gets that cold down here for us, I know it's going to be cold for everybody up north, especially up in Michigan and Nebraska and states like that. So I just kind of want to give everybody a heads up. If you hadn't heard about that yet, now you have. Now it's your chance that if you need anything, go ahead and stock up on it early before there's a run on the stores like there normally is before massive freezes and massive storms like I've seen before in the past down here.
Are they saying it's going to come all the way down to Florida, Austin, or do they have any idea?
They're saying that, yes, they said Central Florida may even get down into single-digit temperature, but they're not sure yet. It really depends on how hard the Arctic freeze comes through, but they did say up in the northern states, negative 30 will not be out of the picture whatsoever.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with the global warming. I just don't know what to say. Of course, now they're calling it climate change.
Right.
And the climate change actually is pretty much the CIA with their chemtrails. They're causing a lot of climate change all over the planet. They pretty much put the entire natural ecosystem into a straitjacket with this geoengineering they're doing, which is causing a lot of climate change. I can go along with the climate change. It used to be a lot cooler down here in the wintertime, a lot cooler. And now we haven't had any really cold weather here probably for about, I'd say, 5, 6, 7, 8 years as far as below freezing. And so it's been nice not having the freezing weather, but it was also nice having some cooler evenings. But I guess it's okay. I mean, down here, you know, if it drops into the 40s, you think it's cold. So I can't imagine what it's going to be like if an Arctic front pushes up 20 below zero up there in the northern states like North Dakota. But of course, they get a lot of that up there along with Montana. Oh, by the way, German intelligence drove the alleged perpetrator in the Christmas market attack to Berlin. German intelligence took the Religion of Peace guy to Berlin. 1 week after the attack on the Christmas market in Berlin, there's a growing chorus of demands for massive strengthening of the state apparatus and the elimination of basic democratic rights in Germany and the erection of new barriers against refugees. Well, if Angela Merkel hadn't brought him in, this never would happen to start with. At its upcoming Congress, it's sort of January, the Bavarian-based Christian Social Union, part of the coalition government headed by its sister party, the Christian Democratic Union, plans to call for more personal and better equipment for security services, additional powers for law enforcement. Hey, we've got a police state coming back, it looks like. More monitoring of emails and communications. Oh, sounds like the USA. This despite the fact that the Berlin attack cannot be attributed to a lack of surveillance or police powers granted to the security or judicial authorities, kind of like our NDAA and our Patriot Act. On the contrary, the alleged perpetrator, Anis Amri, prepared his action literally under the eyes of the authorities. It has now emerged that the 24-year-old Tunisian was driven to Berlin by an undercover informant of the intelligence service, which closely monitored him for months before he drove a semi-truck into a crowd on December the 19th. He had been in prison in Italy for 4 years for criminal offenses and was reportedly radicalized while in jail. In 2015, he was released and went to Germany, where he applied unsuccessfully for asylum. According to the investigation by the German television program Report Munich, he joined an Islamic network in which at least two spies for the German intelligence service were active. I mean, Austin, they have this guy under their foot. They basically give him a ride up to where he's going, and he was in prison for 4 years in Italy. This is ridiculous. And again, it looks another false flag set up by the German intelligence agencies after he was radicalized in Italy. What a mess. What do you think?
Oh, it doesn't surprise me at all. We've seen a lot of this stuff now, and there's no telling if this was, you know, an intentional false flag, if they did this on purpose, which it seems to me like they would have. But we've seen this in numerous occasions, too, where the United States, the FBI, foils a terrorist attack, and then you find out later on that they contacted the person, basically engaged them and told them that this is what they wanted them to do, gave them the dummy bombs, drove them to where they were supposed to go. They put the dummy bombs under a bridge or a building, and they go to hit the button, and the FBI goes, gotcha, we're the feds, you're busted now for terrorism, we're arresting you. And then it's all over the news how the FBI foiled another terrorist attack. So who knows what this was going on over there. I know the United States is notorious for doing stuff like that with the FBI and CIA. That way they can constantly keep the terrorist model going. The terrorist industrial complex, I guess it should be referred to as now, is keeping fear and terror in the hearts and minds of the general population. That way we'll quickly and willingly give up our rights anytime something happens again. That's the overall goal of the globalist, and they've done it in Europe now many, many times. You saw what happened in Paris. I mean, that was horrific over there. And you find out later, all those guys had been being monitored by the intelligence communities over there for years. They knew they were up to something, yet they let everything happen and didn't do anything about it. And on top of it, they've completely disarmed the French citizens over there, so nobody can legally own firearms, really any legitimate purpose firearms, especially any AR-15s, nor can you carry concealed weapons. So it's like shooting fish in a barrel, so to speak. When they bring these guys in, they monitor them, they know what they're going to do, and they just kind of step back and let it happen. Nobody's going to be able to defend themselves when guys come in with, you know, fully automatic AKs out of the Middle East with 100-round drums. What are you going to do with that when you can't even carry a firearm legally? You can't have a pistol or a revolver with you? There's nothing you're going to do, and we saw what happened over there in Paris. That's why they're so bent on taking our firearms here. Now, hopefully, that we got Trump in there, he's really going to pretty much promote gun rights and really try and protect the Second Amendment. I hope that's what he said, and if that's what he does, I will definitely be ecstatic about that, because it'll be the first time we've actually had a president in quite some time that's really, truly pro Second Amendment, for the people, by the people, Deb.
I agree 100%, Austin. Last night on the show with Hagman, if you guys didn't listen to it, I'm going to cover about 5 minutes of that real quick, because it was such an important show, and there were some key things that I covered about DNA and why we're not bound by our DNA. I remember in college, they taught us that the DNA was pretty much going to determine everything. Then later on, I started doing more and more research about 20, 30 years after I got out of college. And they started saying that the environment also plays a tremendous role in what happens and how your genes are expressed. In other words, just because your mommy and daddy died of cancer doesn't mean you're going to get cancer. Just because your mommy and daddy had heart disease doesn't mean you're going to get heart disease. It doesn't work that way. Now, a lot of people still think that it does, but it's only about a third expressed now by the DNA, and the other two-thirds are expressed by other variables, and I want to discuss that with you right now. A couple years ago, the bastion of normalcy, Angelina Jolie, I'm being completely facetious when I say that, the absolute weirdo, Angelina Jolie, basically decided that she wanted to have a double mastectomy because her mom had breast cancer, or there was a genetic marker for breast cancer in her family. And so she had a double radical mastectomy. Then a few years later, she decided, because she didn't want to get ovarian cancer, she had her ovaries removed so she couldn't get ovarian cancer. Now, I will admit, having your breast taken off and having your ovaries taken out, it will reduce the risks of breast cancer and will reduce the risks of ovarian cancer pretty much to zero with ovarian cancer. Now, what's interesting about this is, though, is this. When a person is in their mama's belly and they're being made, this is inside in utero, the ovaries, through testosterone to the mother, turn into testicles for the man. So the woman, basically her ovaries are her, quote, testicles or her egg producers. Now, what's also interesting about that, you know, they produce different hormones. You know, they produce estrogen and progesterone and also testosterone and a bunch of other little luteinizing stimulating hormones and other things that I won't talk about. But what ends up happening is when you castrate a guy, you change their personality. They no longer are really as an alpha male. They're no longer aggressive, etc. When you castrate a woman, which is what it basically is when you basically do a hysterectomy, it ends up causing all kinds of personality changes in that woman too. I've seen it over and over and over again. Now, I knew when she did this that it was going to radically change her personality from weird to even weirder. And of course, I knew it would affect their marriage, and now of course they're getting divorced. But here's what happened. Einstein and Tesla taught us that quantum physics has shown us that the universe is composed of vibrational strings expressed as energy. Every cell and every organ has an energy field, a certain vibration. Therefore, a diseased cell or an organ, like with cancer, no longer is functioning at the proper vibratory state. 1953, Watson and Crick, with their DNA studies, created the belief that genes control biology. This created current medical dogma called genetic determinism. Basically, what that means is that everything is controlled by the genes. Now we know that's simply not true. It's a faulty paradigm. Scientists believe that we were helpless victims of our genetics. But now we know that this is simply not true. The disease is the incorrect vibration of the cellular wall, the structure. Epigenetics and cell biology and quantum physics are all tied together. Dr. Bruce Lipton, who is a global expert in epigenetics, shows that our DNA is influenced by the signals outside of the cell membrane. In other words, it's not the DNA that's affecting it all of the time. There are other signals that are happening outside of the body in the cell membrane. The term vibrational medicine and science of epigenetics are basically interchangeable. Studies show that forces outside of the DNA, extracellular, environmental, minerals, trace minerals, and energetic influences and nutrition affect the development of the biological systems and function. The driving force that causes cells to do what they do is food, thought, minerals, air, ecological systems, words that we speak or pray, and also intentions. Influences, these words that we speak or pray, they influence the switches, you know, along with the nutrition too, that turn on or turn off our DNA, both good and bad. In other words, when you eat a lot of hydrogenated oils, you turn on the switches to increase your risks of breast cancer. When you drink aspartame-containing beverages, you rip on the switches to cause brain cancer. In other words, we're not bound by the DNA. It's just a blueprint that can be greatly altered by what we put into our bodies and how we pray and how we think. Kind of like a set of plans for a house that we can see. And if we don't like something, the way something looks, we can change it during construction, but we don't have to be bound by the plans. We can just go and get another permit and get the engineer to sign off on it and fix it. All of these factors influence how the genes are activated or not activated. Now, what's interesting about this, epigenetics has also showed us that we can change our quality of life from what we've been handed down genetically from previous generations. This fact makes us realize that we are not victims of predetermined genetic codes. In other words, you don't have to have the same disease as your parents had. Our inner and outer environment shapes our behavior. Our genes help to organize us into the uniqueness of an individual that we are. Blonde hair, blue eyes, height, weight, that kind of stuff. Of course, if your weight can be directly affected by the food you eat. It is still a mystery to science how this organizational structure happens, because there are many DNA similarities between humans and even fruit flies. Newsflash, you know, we're not a fruit fly. The organization of life is orchestrated by much more through the power of the living God, Yahweh. God knew you while you were still in your mother's womb, knitted you together by his divine energy, which works so powerfully within us, the New Testament says. We must remember that we are spiritual beings experiencing an earthly existence. This is not our home. We were bought at a price through the Son of the living God. Our genes reside in an energy field that is our human body, or consciousness, or our soul, so to speak. In other words, you can actually measure the energy field around the body. The heart puts out an energy field 500 times greater than the brain, and it can be measured with electronic instruments. Our DNA is a field of energy controlled in a part through our consciousness or through our soul. Our prayer and environment directly influence DNA activation. Now, this is very important. Stay with me for a second. When our energy field resonates with lower vibrational states of fear, hate, bitterness, anger, this vibration is picked up by our cellular membranes. This information enters the cell and goes into the chromosomes, activating a particular strand of DNA. our genes, which transfer these instructions, are based on the information they've received. The cells follow the instructions they were given. Example, if an external threat is detected, your body signals a flight or fight syndrome. In this scene, the energy field is focused on fear instead of love. Adrenaline is released. Digestive enzymes stop being produced. Blood is being shunted to the outer extremities to make you run faster. All of this stuff happens when you get scared. Adrenaline goes through the roof. That's why you hear about women picking up a car and getting it off their children. If we change our energy field to one of trust, harmony, love through Christ, it opens us up to all manners of healing because God is love. It allows the Holy Spirit to enter us. It allows Christ's perfect energy field to enter us. It allows us to be healed by walking in love and in forgiveness. Remember Moses when he walked off the mountain, when he's in the presence of Yahweh, his skin was actually glowing. Jesus, after his resurrection, was basically told Mary when she saw him, "Don't touch me, I'm not yet returned." I think it was Mary or Martha. It was one of the two. "Don't touch me, I'm not yet returned to the Father." And then it was hard for them to recognize him because he still had this energy field encompassing him. We must do our best to avoid the negative emotions of fear and hate. Remember, the word tells that perfect love casts out fear. There is a vibrational pattern attached to each belief we hold. Remember, our governments can, by simply sending an energy field to you, create love, hate, suicide, diarrhea. We are an energy field. If you read the book, The Man Who Stare at Goats, you'll learn that. The globalists know this is why they do everything in their power to control us with TV, HARP, chemtrails, cell phones, Gwen Towers, mineral deficiencies, sea-based radar domes, Google Cubes, etc. Some of this research is being done at the CIA, at Google, at NASA, at Singularity University, and these are all probably, in most parts, being controlled by the black magicians to connect us interdimensionally to the D-Wave computer controlled interdimensionally by Lucifer. We must create a position of high frequency, and we must have a positive high frequencies where we can create frequencies that affects our body and our DNA in a positive way, and the realities that we choose to live, our environments, beliefs, thoughts, prayers, and intentions, perceptions, these are the things that can create health or disease. Remember what Jesus said, the kingdom of God lives within you. As humans, God's given us the ability to choose our experiences on how we resonate in an energy field. Remember, God is in the top dimension. We are in the lower dimensions, but we're connected to God when we are saved. So if you don't like being in a really bad movie, so to speak, if your life is bad, then maybe you need to change what you're doing. You know, we through Christ can control this movie. When we accept Jesus Christ, you know, Lucifer is under our feet, period. He may not touch us unless we allow him to do so by our confessions, associations, prayers, and lifestyle, diet, mineral deficiencies. Think about this. Who are you hanging out with? What's it doing to you? Is that okay? What are you eating? What's it doing to you? Is that okay? What are your confessions? How do you speak on a daily basis? What's that doing to you? Is that okay? How about your prayers? What are they doing to you? Is that okay? What are you praying? Are you praying positive stuff? You know, everything you want to end, everything, we mentioned this on the show before, in that and that's the way I want it to be. I can do all things through Christ because that's the way I want it to be. Our thoughts and beliefs translate into vibrational frequencies. Energy follows these frequencies into thoughts, shaping the reality that we're in. It's about energy and vibration. That's something that you guys need to really get through your mind, because the Bible says, as a man thinketh the thoughts in his heart, so is he. The power of life and death is in the tongue. The practice of proper prayer combined with God's energy field is responsive to us, can expand our abilities and understanding. We can be led by the Holy Spirit, in other words. Our prayers need to be sincere and deeply engaged. Our bridge to this is Jesus in Christ, who allows us through the blood, his blood, and the infilling of the Holy Spirit to come boldly into God's presence, into the actual throne room of the Holy of God, which is really kind of neat when you stop and think about it. But guys, we need to realize that our DNA is a sending receiving unit. Our DNA strives for proper frequencies, and we are created in God's image, and our DNA wants to resonate with Yahweh. It's simply how we've been created. The New Agers offer us an empty promise without explaining how we were created or who Yeshua is or who Yahweh is. They want us to believe that we can do everything on our own. You know, Wayne Dwyer, very gifted speaker, was on PBS a lot. He basically said that he was going to work it out himself when he came down with cancer, and he ended up dying from cancer. It didn't work out very well for him. the New Agers have some idea of the energy fields around us, but they have no idea who controls the energy fields. And that would be Yeshua in Yahweh. So guys, listen to me for a second. Remember, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Earlier today, Austin, when I was going over to get some paint at the paint store in Winter Haven, I turned on the radio, and I turned on a PBS station just out of curiosity as to what they were talking about, the public broadcast service. And they were interviewing the lady who had written Harry Potter novels, Rowling, I think. And because I've never read any of them, we won't allow them in our house. And they were asking her where this inspiration of Harry Potter came from. And she basically said, well, just popped into my head one day. I said, oh, that's interesting. And then they asked her, they said, well, what about these spells and the witchcraft and all the stuff that's used and the words, the incantations that you use in your book? Where did you get all that stuff from as far as the phrases and the words and the spells? And then she said, well, I went back in the history and I did all kinds of research on witches and witchcraft and druidic worship, and I used the same spells and phrases that they used. Now, guys, now you need to listen to me what I just said now. If that crap is in your house, and I just read you about the energy fields, that's why I want to talk about this today. If that crap, and I'm going to say it again, crap, Harry Potter crap, and you've got the witches' spells from druidic worship and all the stuff that she pulled out using it to make it as realistic as she possibly can, and you're allowing your children to read that filth, what type of spirits and what type of energy field are you creating in your house? What kind of garbage are you putting into their brains? And what type of spirits are you inviting into your home when these children speak these things out loud in your home? We're beings of energy and frequency. Then she read part of her little speech that she did today about the wand of Harry Potter. She wrote like a paragraph out of the book of how he chose his magic wand. And she's telling about all the different things that's involved and how the wands were chosen and how they're manufactured and all the stuff, which apparently is based in fact. Guys, this is one of the quickest ways to get your children involved in the occult. This is right up there with Ouija boards and going to seances and going to clairvoyance and all kinds of people, crystal balls and gypsies that do that kind of stuff. The Bible warns us to stay away from this stuff, not because God doesn't say it works, but because he says it does work. And he doesn't want us involved in it because he knows what it does to us and to what our frequencies. You have these children reading these curses on these people from these characters in these books that are based in fact from real curses from real witches and real warlocks and real demons. What do you think that's doing to you and your family? So guys, do what I do. When they asked me about reading Harry Potter, my response was no. Absolutely no. Emphatically no. It won't come in my house. I don't want that filth in here. Think through what I'm talking about today, because I want you to share with you what I heard on the radio today and tie it back together with the Hagman Show. What do you think about all that, Oz?
That's interesting, bud, because I've always been a huge proponent of not allowing Harry Potter in the house, not just my house. I've gone to people's houses before, and it's almost a cult fad. I mean, that whole movie, the whole series, it's huge. I mean, almost every person I know has seen the movies but myself. I was over at somebody's house years ago, and they were having like a whole series the whole weekend. So we were over there eating, and I was just coming over to hang out for a little bit. They had the movie going, and I watched about an hour and a half of it. And I was kind of finishing eating. I was getting ready to leave, and I asked one of my friends over there. I said, "You guys really like this movie?" "Oh yes, this is great." I said, "Does it not seem odd to you that I mean like?" And I was shocked when I saw, because you're absolutely right. I mean, they're doing full blown spells, full blown seances.
Yep.
I mean, it's full wizardry and witchcraft. The whole movie is.
Yep.
And I'm like, does it kind of seem odd to you? They're doing all this in the movie, and I had no idea this stuff was real, as you were just telling me. Oh no, it's just the movie stuff, this and that. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. Whatever you guys have at it. And I've never felt easy about those movies. I've never liked them. I've never been a proponent of them. I've never paid to see them. I've never really even watched a full one. And now you say that. And guys, listen to me. If you want to know what a lot of this stuff was involved with the Druid worship ceremonies, go back and listen to our Halloween episode that we had with Doc Marquis and listen to exactly what the Druids used to do on Halloween. This is the same people that wrote these spells and these incantations and all these different wizardry applications that they tried to put on people with spells. They did some really, really sick, sadistic stuff to people on a regular basis, and they thought it was okay. It was normal behavior to them. So if they're putting, if she's taking actual spells and seances out of the old druid ceremonies, and she's putting them in the books and in the movies, guys, why in the world do you want to have that frequency in your house? Why do you want to have those words spoken in your house? Because quite frankly, you have no idea what they're bringing in. If they're bringing in some portal, if they're bringing in some type of weird demon, some, I mean, just all weird stuff, man. I don't even like getting involved in a lot of that stuff. Dad knows more about it than I do. But when he just said that, that was kind of an eye-opener to me that you need to check yourself. If you're a Christian, if you go to church, if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior and God Almighty and Yahweh, and you have these movies in your house, and you have these books in your house, and your children are engaging in this type of behavior, that needs to stop, man. That kind of just woke me up when you said that stuff was realistic, that I thought it was, a lot of it was Hollywood. I had no idea she was getting those seances and a lot of that stuff from old Druid worship ceremonies. But,
well, all the Druid worship services carry through the Dark Ages, all the way up into the Middle Ages, and this is where the stuff is coming from. It's just, so all of these old things that they do were basically taught to them again through the fallen angels. That's what they do. And she researched that and made sure it was as realistic as possible when she used the words. Now, guys, that's why this thing is so huge. That's why she's a billionaire. Cat, this lady's a billionaire. Billion, not million, billionaire. Thousand millions, okay? The reason she's so wealthy is the god of this world, Lucifer, right? He's rewarding her because he knows she's promoting his agenda. Remember, in the lower dimensions, Lucifer's in control. That's why when Jesus came to him, Lucifer said, all you have to do is bow down, I will give you all of this stuff, showing him the kingdoms of the earth. And Jesus said, you know, have no other gods besides God alone. That's it. You know, the man, you know, then he also said to him, you know, turn these stones into bread. He says, what was Jesus' response on that one? I remember he says, man does not live alone, but on bread alone, but upon the word of the living God, or something like that. And what's interesting about this is that, you know, we know the God of this world will bless the heathen for promoting his agenda. Look at the pedophilia. Look at the people who are in power over us that we've put there and involved in pedophilia and the ritual sacrifice and worship. Lucifer loves it when little children, ages 9 and up, is her target market, she said today. 9 and up. 9 and up, until all the way to adulthood. That's her target market, to bring into the minds of the youth and to introduce them into witchcraft, into Wiccan, into wizardry, into satanic rituals. All of that stuff's in Harry Potter. I watched one of the movies one time on TV, part of it, when it came out. And I thought, very well done movie, great special effects, really, really weird. And whenever they start doing those incantations and spells with their wands, I'd mute that thing. I'd say, I don't even know what they're saying. I don't want to know what they're saying. I don't want those words in my house. Never had any interest in seeing any of the other movies. I thought, that's interesting. But that's what I learned today from the author of Harry Potter. And if that one doesn't send chills up your back, I don't know how to do it. Vitamin D deficiency during pregnancy, by the way, raises your child's risk for autism. It's so important, if you're not going to take a vitamin D supplement, that you make sure you get out in the sun on a regular basis when you're pregnant so you can make enough vitamin D without sunscreen. It's hard to make vitamin D now from the sun because the chemtrails have obscured so much of the light. This is so important that you understand that. There's been a dramatic and concerning increase in the rates of autistic spectrum disorder. We talked about that yesterday, in the last 30 years, and experts believe these rates will continue to rise. So what we've learned is the vitamin D can actually cause an increased risk of autism, and also what we've learned is that glyphosate, and I talked about that on yesterday's show and again on Hagman's show last night, the doctor from MIT says is one of the primary causes, roundup, of autism. I think autism, Austin, to the levels that we have now, is a multifaceted disease. I think there's many factors, including the NAGLACE, the GMO foods, the chemtrails, the vaccinations, and the glyphosate. I think they're all contributing to these levels because the levels are so incredibly high. That's one of the reasons that people boo-ha the idea of immunizations about it causing autism. Well, guys, here's the thing. We need to clean our diets up. We need to clean the environment up, and we need to start realizing, like I talked about a few minutes ago, that it's what you put into your body that affects your cell walls and your cell structures through vibration. So be very, very careful about putting junk in your body, especially, guys, ladies, if you're pregnant or about to get pregnant. What do you think, son?
No, it's so important because when Lan Anna got pregnant, I was so strict about it as far as what she was eating. So was she. And I saw it firsthand when she would eat something that was just not very high quality. Because, you know what I mean? She would cheat sometimes. A lot of times if she wasn't with me or she was out with somebody. But almost every single time that happened, she would end up getting sick and having her morning sickness would get really bad. And when she didn't eat that food and she ate really clean, she rarely had any significant, really, really harsh morning sickness. So, no, it goes to show you how important it is, especially just from the beginning, as soon as they get pregnant, how important it is to massively clean and change that diet up if you have not already done so. I've told so many people that have issues with getting pregnant, because I know a few people that have issues with pregnancy. And, you know, they go to the doctors, they're like, no, you know, you're ovulating, this and that, you're good to go, the guy's sperm's good, we've done tests on that. And then you look at their diet, and all they want to eat every day is Taco Bell and McDonald's and McFlurries and ice cream and french fries. And the body becomes so toxic, you can't expect it to carry a child when you're literally pumping in just boatloads and gallons of trans fats every year, pounds of sugar, pounds of GMO feed of that it's just contaminated with glyphosate. You can't expect the body to be able to properly carry a child. And guys, this is the whole point of this. This is why they've been doing the GMOs and the glyphosate and the multi-tiered herbicides now that they're using, and multiple ones back to back to back now. I mean, they're making Roundup resistant corn. We thought that was a horrible one. Now they have the one where it's dicamba resistant, and some other one now they're making it resistant. You can't eat this stuff, guys, and expect it not to have long-term side effects. You really can't. You have to start waking up and realizing that there's other things that need to be done in your diet, and biggest one is cutting this stuff out, not eating it at all, taking the right supplements, and trying to exercise at least a couple times a week. Another article I pulled up today, I wanted to kind of touch base on this real quick because I thought it was kind of funny, and not in a humorous way, but an ironic way yesterday when Dad brought it up, of how the United States has been accusing Russia repeatedly now of essentially releasing emails that they're claiming about the DNC and the corruption that was involved. That's all they did, was release the truth and what they were involved in. But get this, guys. A university scientist, Dov Levin of Carnegie Mellon University, went through the Freedoms of Information Act and has found that the U.S. has directly influenced presidential elections in other countries at least 81 times between 1946 and the year 2000. That number does not include military coups and regime change efforts following the election of candidates that the U.S. did not like, notably those in Iran, Guatemala, and Chile, nor do those numbers include general assistance with electoral process such as election monitoring. So I thought it was kind of funny when Dad brought that up yesterday, how the CNN, the mainstream media, everybody's flipping out trying to use these accusations now that Russia basically leaked the DNC emails to go attack Russia. Now, start World War III. That's where it's going, by the way. If you guys haven't picked up on that, that's where they're trying to escalate this to. And they're just eviscerating Russia because they're saying they released DNC emails. Yet over 81 times we've directly influenced elections, and that doesn't include military coups or regime changes that we've been directly involved in. It's almost a joke, Dad. So I thought I'd kind of bring that up today as almost a little humor because of how hypocritical the globalists and the mainstream media are, just blatantly in front of everybody now.
Well, the United States, just personally, you know, the leadership that we've had now since, really since George H. And after, well, he was also running Ronald Reagan's White House for almost a full 8 years. So it's going all the way back into Reagan. We see that with the assault weapons ban, and also with the, you know, the whole information that we have as far as the no machine guns, and the information that we have as far as the people who manufacture the vaccines can't be basically prosecuted no matter how they poison people. So this has been going back all the way back into the 80s, and then you got to run it back one more notch. You got to go back to all the way back down to Lyndon Johnson, who was involved in the assassination of John F. Kennedy. Lyndon Johnson was just neck deep with the CIA and getting rid of Kennedy. That's when the coup of the government took place, is when the assassination of Kennedy took place. The control of the government took place in 1934 with the Exchange Stability Fund. Kennedy wanted to get rid of all that, and when he became president, and of course they took him over, took him out, overtly took him out, obviously blowing his head off, the back of his head off. I mean, it was awful. but this is what's going on right now. It's really kind of sad because we just kind of think we don't have to pay attention to what the laws are, and that most people in the United States now are waking up, and they've had enough of it, except for Congress. Former House Speaker sentenced to prison for covering up his serial child molestation. Now, this is Dennis Hastert. Now, we've known about this guy being a predator on children for many, many, many years. Former Republican House Speaker Dennis Hastert was recently sentenced to 15 months in federal prison for his efforts to cover up his serial child molestation during his time as a high school wrestling coach in Illinois. In a convenient and unfortunate turn of events, legal statutes prevented him from being sentenced for his molestation crimes because the time gap was too great for the recourse. Of course, he fit right into Washington because there are so many pedophiles up there already. The case was originally built against Hastert for his ambiguous and consistent withdrawals of large sums of money from his personal bank account. When it was brought to Hastert's attention that federal agents were loosely inquiring as where this money was going, House Speaker began going through great lengths to conceal his suspicious bank transaction, basically paying off the victims. The withdrawn money was reportedly over $3 million of a $5 million agreement to personal settlements between Hastert and these children who he had sexually violated. I mean, guys, these people that we put in Washington, it's like Sandusky if they're at Penn State. These guys that we have sometimes in our school systems are absolutely nauseating to me. I mean, a person who violates a small child, they need to be put to death. They just need to be taken out back and either stoned to death or hung if they're found guilty by a jury of their peers. It's that bad. And the fact that we've got this rampant right now, absolutely rampant in Washington, D.C., and among global leadership everywhere, is awful to me. But last week on Hagman, I did a two-hour presentation on why they do this and why they protect the pedophiles. And again, it's through the energy transfer of these children into these entities. So that's why they are protected and they're not brought to justice for what they do. And we even know a huge, huge pastor up in Georgia and had a huge church, and he was a pedophile, but he was smart. He basically was gay, and he was having sex with boys. At least they had to be at least 16 years of age, and he was bringing them up and taking them on trips and had basically sexually abused a bunch of these kids. And finally, a bunch of them got together, started talking about it, and they filed a lawsuit on them. This is so prevalent in our world right now that we really, really need to take a stand as Christians against all of this stuff. What do you think, son?
No, you're absolutely right. It's a very, very weird, bizarre topic to talk about, especially with most people, because it's just something that I think majority of the population can't even fathom how disgusting that is to be involved in. But it happens a lot more than everybody realizes it does, but it's definitely something, if you hear about it, if you know about it, if you even have an idea that it could be going on, it needs to be addressed as soon as possible and find out what exactly is happening, because nobody deserves to go through that. I mean, nobody at all, I mean, especially when they're minors like that and they're young children. I mean, that's just horrific to me. But it's also interesting, too. Donald Trump has now had a meeting yesterday with top executives from Lockheed Martin and Boeing on Wednesday to begin negotiating for the new aircraft that's incoming for the president, because he said the price was out of control. Remember when we discussed how the new Air Force One was going to be a $4 billion build, and he said that was essentially astronomical. He wasn't going to pay that. Cancel my order. That's what he tweeted. He wasn't joking. He's not paying that, nor do I think the American taxpayer should have to subsidize that. If you look online right now through Wikipedia, Boeing's top 777, I think they make, the top one they make, their cost on it is roughly right around $395 million, if I'm not mistaken. Now, obviously, Air Force One has all types of different radar scramblers on it, anti-missile defense systems. I got that. But $4 billion, out of control. So it's funny, Trump's meeting with Boeing and Lockheed was held separately in Palm Beach, Florida, and included senior defense officials. The next Air Force One, he said, will have the best capabilities at an affordable price point. The aims of the talks were to get costs down, Trump said. Now Boeing has said that's not an issue. They're going to get it done for much less than $4 billion, and it will all be top of the line still. So what I find so funny about this is that Boeing just gives the U.S. government this absolutely astronomical price, just this crazy bid, $4 billion for a plane, $4 billion with a B, and the U.S. goes, Oh, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, just charge it on the credit card. We'll just have the Federal Reserve print up some more money, $4 billion. Don't worry about that. And then Trump gets out and goes, no. We're not going to pay that. We're going to have a meeting. We're either going to cancel the order. You guys are going to give us a substantially better price. And so Boeing and Lockheed already go, oh, yeah, that's fine. We can give you a much better price now and still keep all the equipment state of the art. Don't worry about that. We'll take care of you on it. I'm sorry, I just laughed because the negligent spending in the U.S. government and in Congress and throughout knows no bounds anymore. They literally get these bids and they just say, yeah, sure, give whatever you want, pay whatever you want, we'll give you whatever you want, doesn't matter, it is what it is. And this is how the government should have been operating for the last 30 to 40 years, if not longer than that. I don't know how negligent the U.S. has been spending money like this because I wasn't around before the 80s. But what I've seen, especially in the last 15 years, especially the last 8 years, it has been insane how much money. I mean, remember, guys, our national debt has doubled in the last 8 years. We were around $10 trillion when Obama took office. We are now at $20 trillion. Those are trillions with a T. That's a, what is that, a thousand billions debt? I think that's
yep.
correct.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But yeah, a thousand billion. $1 trillion.
A quadrillion.
10 times of those in 8 years now. That's where we're at. So I'm really happy that at least somebody there with some type of financially responsible mindset is going to be running the country, because we can't afford to keep doing this forever, bud.
That's right. Oh, by the way, religion apiece again. 12-year-old Muslim immigrant turns out to be a 21-year-old Muslim terrorist. In the rush to appear politically correct, many brain-dead leftists are willing to put their families and countries at risk. There's no way to vet Muslims fleeing Muslim countries, and the notion of Muslims are fleeing Muslim countries should be warning enough. Even radical Muslims claim that. God, that's funny. The notion that Muslims are fleeing Muslim countries should be warning enough. They're trying to get away from the other Muslims. Even radical Muslims claim to be peaceful as long as you are a Muslim. Are you kidding me? 21 years old this boy was, and he said he was 12, and he got in. Unbelievable that this is going on in the United States and in Europe. Nuts. What do you think, son?
Yeah, well, it doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, we've talked about this numerous times. I mean, they literally come in and they go, oh, I'm 14 years old. Border goes, okay, that's fine. He's a minor. Let him in. And then find him later, these guys are in their early 20s. There was that photo, I remember, that surfaced a while back ago in Germany, I think like September of last year, at that train station. And all these migrants were celebrating and basically all happy that they had gotten there. And everybody kind of looked at the photo, and the first thing everybody goes is, where are the women and children? Like 98% of the people in the photo were all like mid-young adult males. Wasn't a single child, wasn't a single woman in the group that I ever saw. It's all grown adult males. So I don't know if these guys either have that little respect for their family that they're in a war zone that they have to escape from, they leave their entire family there to go to Europe, or like I said before, it was a giant lie from the beginning to bring in terrorist age Muslims so they could increase the religion of peace throughout Europe, since that's what they like to promote, is peace. Everywhere they go, it's always peaceful. Everything they do is very peaceful. They're a very peaceful individual. They don't ever engage in any type of violence at all. This is interesting now. As I've told you guys before and Dad's warned about numerous times, the school system, the public school systems, are essentially from school at the beginning, they're teaching you how to be a good servant as far as how to basically submit to the government, how to submit everything you have, how to always follow orders and never question the narrative. Essentially now they're doing a school-to-prison pipeline. As you see now, we've seen kids getting arrested, going to jail, being handcuffed, 7, 8, 9 years of age for no reason at all, except they kiss a girl, or they hand a love note off, or they chew a Pop-Tart in the shape of a gun and they get suspended. Absolutely insane. Well, this just boggled my mind today. On January 1st, 2017, the state of Missouri, will be implementing a full statewide public school policy to accelerate the descent into a full-blown police state. They put a memo out to parents and guardians. The Hazelwood School District did so far, put out a memo stating, according to Missouri statute now, fights at school or on school buses will be treated as felonies. It states in the memo, dear parents and guardians, we want to make you aware of a few new state statutes that go into effect on January 1st, 2017, which may have a drastic impact on how incidences are handled in area school districts. The way the new statute reads, if a person commits offense of an assault in the third degree, it will now be classified as a Class E felony rather than a misdemeanor. If he or she knowingly causes physical injury to another person, one or both participants may be charged with a Class E felony. So I don't know if this ruling will be able to stick, if they will actually be able to start charging minors with felonies like this in school if they get into a fight. Remember, this is all about making everybody subservient. As I just told you before, they don't want anybody getting in schoolyard fights. They don't want anybody standing up for themselves. They don't want anybody being aggressive. They want everybody to be loyal subjects. And if that means arresting 15, 16, 17-year-old kids for felonies now because they got in a fight in the schoolyard, that's what they want to start doing. But like I said, we'll see if this doesn't get overturned next year by some court, because this seems to me like it's unbelievably out of hand, Ed.
Well, I agree with you. The problem is, and I mentioned this story briefly last week when you were on vacation, is that the major problems we have in the schools are gang-related now in these bigger cities, gang-related. And so we have gangs that are coming in, and these children are getting in these gangs when they're 8, 9, 10, 12 years old, 14 years old, and they want to basically get made as far as being a gang member, and they have to start these types of fights and assault these children. And a lot of times these assaults will take place are four or five people against one, and they'll take a weaker child and they'll beat them half to death. And so what they're saying is they don't know how to stop it now because they're so out of control because God's been taken out of the school system, that the only way to do it is charge these 16, 17, 15-year-old children as felons to get them back out of the school system, to get them in some type of penal institution to prevent them from damaging anybody else because they're gang-related incidents. The crazy part about this is I read this one story about this last week. I believe you were on the air with me then, is that this one boy basically took a knife out, and he was being attacked by this group of people that were a gang, and this guy was like mentally challenged, and the police came up and shot the kid with the knife who was being attacked by the gang members. I mean, this is just crazy stuff that's happening all over the place because the police aren't thinking that this child may be mentally off. When they tell him to drop the knife, he's scared to death. He doesn't know what to do. He doesn't drop it quickly enough, and he gets shot right in the chest. So, I mean, so this is the kind of stuff. I mean, if a cop pulls a weapon on you and tells you whatever you're doing, stop it, I really suggest that you stop it. I really do. I mean, I don't even know how to make that any more direct. If you're doing something, even if you don't think it's wrong, and they say stop it, you know, when they go for that weapon, you just need to stop it and just put your hands up in the air and say, buddy, I'm stopping it. I am done. And because truth be told, it's literally when they pull that firearm, you've got seconds before you die. Seconds to change. And if they're fast, you may have less than seconds. You may have around a second. And these cops have to act so quickly now because the people are messed out, or they're on crank, or they're on crack, or on their whatever, and they're like zombies out of their mind with strength and no pain, and so they have to go very quickly. I spoke to a man just a few years ago. He was a sergeant over there in Lakeland. I'm not going to mention his name, and he ended up basically telling me that he had to drop a guy one time that was all messed out and was on crank or some type of PCB, and the guy was like 6'4". And he had to run 18 rounds of 45 in him to stop him. He had to run three magazines in the guy. And finally he went down. 18 rounds hit the guy. And the nuttiest thing about all of that is, wow. I mean, just that guy just didn't feel any pain. Now, you know, the problem is if somebody's flailing and swinging and all that kind of stuff, it's kind of hard to do something like an eye socket shot. It's just almost impossible. But I don't even know what that would be like, Austin, if a big old tall giant guy started getting all ginked up on PCP and you had to try to shoot him because he was trying to kill you. It must be a pretty scary situation to be in. Oh, by the way, Soros is now saying that Trump is a would-be dictator and he threatens the new world order. Now, we need to all laugh in unison about this because George Soros has done more to be a would-be dictator than Donald Trump ever thought about. Billionaire globalist lowlife former Nazi stooge George Soros has penned a panicked rant in which he describes President-elect Donald Trump as a would-be dictator who threatens the future of the New World Order. My big giant amen to the future of the New World Order, getting that thing gone. In an article for Project Syndicate, source begins by mentioning how he lived under both Nazi and then Soviet rule in Hungary before asserting that various forms of closed societies from fascist dictatorships to mafia states are on the rise. He said, Soros, that one of the greatest times of his life is when he worked for the Nazis as a fascist, turning in his fellow Jews to get their stuff. Soros said that. And now he's coming in with his holier-than-thou stuff. This claim is confounded by the facts which show that the share of the world population living in democracies has increased continuously. Soros writes that voting for Trump, Americans elected a con artist and a would-be dictator as a president, and that his defeat of Hillary Clinton means America will be unable to protect and promote democracy in the rest of the world. Right, because that's working so well in Iraq and Afghanistan and Syria and Libya, right? Guys, listen to me for a second. Why in the world have we decided that we're going to be the ones who bring in democracy to the rest of the world? Why is that our responsibility? It has nothing to do with bringing in democracy to the rest of the world. Soros is a Rothschild stooge. He was trained by the Bank of England after he left Nazi Germany after the war. He basically is pushing not for democracy, but for central banks in all the different countries to control them. Soros also slams Trump's new cabinet as containing nothing other than incompetent extremists and retired generals. He's putting a bunch of billionaires in place. Now, I don't agree with all of his cabinet members, but he's got some good ones in there too. Explaining how he supports the European Union because it is a successful attempt at social engineering, Soros laments the fact that the body has become increasingly dysfunctional and its disintegration has been accelerated, first from Brexit, then from the election of Trump in the U.S., and on December the 4th from Italian voters, rejection by a wide margin of constitutional reforms. Soros also bemoans Russian President Vladimir Putin's alleged undue influence during the presidential election. That's a total lie. At first, he tried to control social media. That's a lie. Then, in a brilliant move, he exploited social media companies' business models for spreading misinformation and fake news. That's a lie. Disarming electorates and destabilizing democracies. Another lie. This is how he helped get Trump elected. Another lie, writes Soros. Soros said Putin felt threatened by color revolutions in Georgia, Ukraine, and elsewhere, without mentioning that Soros himself played a key role in bankrolling these contrived uprisings, as well as the cover revolution being fomented against Trump, including Black Lives Matter. The irony of an ultra-rich elitist who has bankrolled the overthrow of innumerable governments insisting he cares about democracy and the will of the people is particularly disgusting to me. The whole tone of this piece is clearly fraught with concern that the populist movement sweeping the West poses a direct threat to a plutocratic New World Order that Soros has spent his entire life helping the Rothschild banking cartel to build. He concludes that by warning the EU is on the verge of breakdown due to stagnant economic growth and the out-of-control refugee crisis that he himself helped bring in the first place. This guy is either so far out there, Austin, that he has lost his perspective as far as what reality really is, or he's so evil to the core, which I believe this part is true, that he is doing the bidding of his master, Lucifer, through the Rothschild banking cartels. And now he's accusing Trump of doing the very same thing that he's been doing, which is the communist mantra. They always turn around and blame the person who's trying to fix things for doing what they did, this person did, to destroy things. So the whole thing's kind of crazy to me, son, and I just really think that this is all kind of a nutty situation to be in, and that George Soros is getting any type of traction politically or even any kind of writings, because who in the world does this nutbag think that he is? A former Jew who helped the Nazis to turn in his fellow Nazis to get their stuff, who now works for the Rothschild banking cartel. Is anybody listening to who this guy really is and what he's done? I don't know, bud. I can't figure it out. By the way, guys, I want to thank you so much for listening to the show every day, listening to the Hagman Show last night. If you really want an in-detailed synopsis of what I covered in about 10 minutes, listen to the first hour of the Hagman Show last night. You'll really be blessed by that, by realizing that we're not bound by our genetic markers, that we can control what we become and who we and what our lives are and what our health is by the things that we do externally through prayer and through diet and through nutrition. It was really a good show. I really enjoyed that one last night with Hagman. So I want to thank you guys for listening to the show. Love you guys. We're coming up on a new year. I want to wish you a happy new year. We'll be live tomorrow. Don't worry, we're not going to be running tape. We'll be live. But I want to wish you a happy new year if you don't get the chance to listen to us tomorrow. I appreciate you ordering your vitamins from us. thank you for at least getting your multiple vitamin from us. I mean, we have so many people now buying multiple vitamins. It's really helping to pay for the show. Soon we'll be doing video streaming. We're fixing to get that started so we can post everything on YouTube, and also you can watch it on your computer. In addition to that, we're going to be basically trying different types of menus, like with Facebook and Facebook Live, those types of things, and what we're doing as far as getting that information out there. So I appreciate you so much. I love you. And again, I thank you from the bottom of my heart for the support you've given us this year and for the way you guys have been so loyal listening to our show on a regular basis, because you guys really are our friends, and we really want you to know that we feel the same way about you. God bless you. Austin, close up the show, buddy.
Yes, guys, we always appreciate everything, and the sale of multiples have definitely gone up in the last couple months, and we thank you for that, because it definitely, like Dad said, it definitely helps pay for the show. If you guys noticed, this is a self-funded show. Health Masters basically sponsors it, which is our company. We don't have any advertisements. We don't have any commercials. We don't have any pop-ups on our website. We don't have any slideshows or any advertisement slots that blow up in your face like a lot of these websites do. I'm not picking on anybody, but it drives me nuts when I go on websites and stuff is covered in advertisements. We don't have any of that, not on our website, not on our show. That's because I told that a long time ago. We're going to start doing this show. I wanted it to be us, what we were promoting, what we were doing, and I wanted it to be clean the way we wanted it to. I didn't want to be told what we could and couldn't do by our advertisers or have advertisements pulled because we talked about specific things. That's the easiest way for that to happen. When you start having people sponsor your show or your website, they start dictating what you can and cannot talk about because they're basically giving you money every month. So we appreciate it, guys. The Regeneration, again, is on sale as product of the week. If I'm not mistaken, let me check. Yep, Regeneration's on sale still. That's really good for fine line wrinkles, hair, and nails. Also, too, Dad talked about the new Aquatrace that we have on the show yesterday. Really, really good product, really good to put in the water. That's what we've been doing now as far as an ionic mineral solution that really is good for distilled water. So check that out. Also, Doug Books, D-O-U-G-B-O-O-K-S. That's a special that he ran last night. It's still going on. It's four books, The Breakthrough Health, The Healthy Country Cooking, Maximum Memory, and Train Up Your Children the Way They Should Eat. And I think the Maximum Fat Loss, four of those. But anyways, if you got a question, give us a call up on them. That's the coupon code DougBooks on any orders over $79. We give you all those books for free along with your order. So you guys need anything, email us, call us, healthmasters.com. You guys have a safe, blessed night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.